The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right. All right.
Fatherhood and family building, there are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and we thank you once again for joining us today. We're excited once again about today's show. We have a great show lined up for you. As always, you can keep the conversation going on Twitter by using the hashtag champion, as well as you can call in at any time, 888-346-9144. Again, that's toll-free, 888-346-9144. This is a great good afternoon for those of you on the East Coast. Hopefully you're enjoying your lunch break. Those of you in the Central Standard Time, looking forward to having a good lunch. I'm sure you're looking at the clock, hopefully already thinking about what you're going to do for lunch. And good morning to those of you waking up on the in the West Coast on your way into work or maybe just settling in for another work week. Obviously, we always have great shows lined up for you. Today we're going to have the Skit Guys. They're going to share with us how to run our race to completion. They're hilarious. They're probably, they've made a career out of getting in trouble all the time in high school. They were high school buddies growing up, and I could just tell they just got in trouble all the time because they're just cut-ups. And I love how God's using them today to help inspire men and families everywhere. So they're going to be talking about how to run your race. Olympic champion Scott Hamilton will be sharing his powerful story, and that's from our friends at I Am Second today. You don't want to miss that. And Tony Dungy is going to be talking about kids growing up too fast. Many of us can relate with the fact it seems like you just brought your child home and then all of a sudden they're going off to college. And Coach Dungy is going to be sharing his thoughts on how quickly our kids grow up and things that we can do to cherish those memories. And we'll also be joined by a good friend, a national speaker and presenter, Lyndon Barrington Allen, who will be giving us some more parenting tips on how we can maximize the moment and making sure that we are modeling in our homes the things that we need to make sure that, again, our kids are growing up so fast, we need to make sure we are taking advantage of the time that we have with our kids. This has just been a crazy, crazy weekend, of course, with the Olympics getting started. And then even in my life, I finally pulled the trigger to let my second oldest son play football, real football, pads, for the first time. And so last week was his first week of practice, and Thursday was his first time putting on pads. And so, you know, I'm going to the sporting goods store. You know, I'm trying to find that, you know, being a receiver, it's always important to make sure your uniform looks right. So I remember, so I'm going to the store, and I'm looking at everything and trying to make sure his pants fit him nice and got the shoulder pads to fit him and that would protect him, but so that he could still look nice when he was out there. And it was just so much fun just to sort of relive myself through him and just seeing him take his first hit, make his first tackle, score his first touchdown. It's just a fun time. I'm so happy football is back. I mean, some of you may love our national pastime in baseball, but I'm sorry. I'd rather watch some clips of the Jets and Tebow and Sanchez, you know, in practice than watch 9 innings of a baseball game right now. So, you know, it's exciting to see that football finally is back. Unfortunately, in the world of football, we have some really, really sad and tragic news today here, actually coming out of Tampa, but it's a near and dear to our heart here in Nashville. This is a reporter from the NFL and from ESPN that police say a Tennessee Titans player has died from an apparent suicide. Tampa police spokesperson or spokeswoman Andrea Davis says the officers found a 25-year-old O.J. Murdoch inside his car Monday morning with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. The car was parked in front of Middleton High School where he attended school. He was taken to Tampa General Hospital where he later died. And this is just, again, another one of those sad and tragic cases that we're hearing too many times happening within the NFL of guys taking, of course, Junior Seau earlier, many other guys that unfortunately have taken. And I have no idea what could have been happening in his life that would make him feel like, I mean, you would think that, you know, he's getting ready to go on a training camp. He's only 25 years old, still has a lot of life to live ahead of him. And you would think that there would be a lot of things that he would be able to look forward to in life. And obviously something was going on that he felt like that was his only option. And from the outside in, you would say, many of you would say, you know, if I was in the NFL, I would never do that. Well, remember, everyone has a life to live and everyone has a story to tell. And everyone's life, sometimes we wish we were on that other side of the fence, but we don't know what it's like to be over there. And just my thoughts and prayers are go out to him and his family. It's just heartbreaking news to think that somebody that young and with that much potential in life would do something like that. Obviously, you're going to have a parent having to bury their child, which is something that, again, is just heartbreaking. It's something that no one would want to wish on anyone, which, again, brings up how important it is for us to maximize the time that we have. Though we love football and sports, and though we know, you know, watching the Olympics and all of those things are great and exciting things to do, at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing in our life, we are focused on making sure we get it done. Because, again, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. You know, we think that we have all this time, but we really don't. We need to make sure, as men, you know, we can watch all the Olympic Games and we can do all this, but if I'm doing all that and I don't have the time to invest to sow the right seeds in my children, then you know what? I'm missing the mark. And, you know, I wish I knew more about this case with this young man, but I don't. Obviously, the family hopefully might be able to shed a little bit more light into the situation. But if anything, hopefully this can inspire us to realize that, you know, not only should we maximize the day for ourselves to make sure we're doing what we can for ourselves and for our families, but we should also take a moment now to think about, you know, are there people around me that just seems like they've been down? Does it seem like they've been distant and withdrawn a little bit? You know, are they really ready to finish their race and finish their course? And if so, if it seems like they're a little distant, you know what, maybe I need to take a step back and reach out to them and make sure that they're there for the long haul, and to make sure that if they need someone to talk to, I'll be there to talk to them. Obviously, this is, again, breaking news, something that you know, I wasn't aware of until it was just released today. And, again, please just send your thoughts and prayers out to them in this tragic time in their lives. Now, beyond that, of course, we want to go ahead and start segueing into the Olympics. Olympic basketball team, the men's and women's basketball team, struggled a little bit in the first part of their games, but they were able to turn it around and end up blowing out the men blew out France in their opener, and the girls went ahead and took care of business as well. Serena and Venus both won, and Roddick also advanced for the U.S. For the Olympics. Now, a sport that you wouldn't think I would like a whole lot, but I actually like the beach volleyball. You know, they actually have some really great, the U.S. has some really strong beach volleyball teams, and those games are fast-paced and really exciting to see. So I'm looking to see the U.S. also repeat in the gold over there. And probably the biggest bust, unfortunately, at this point is Mr. Phelps, who seems like he allowed all the TV commercials and the 8 gold medals last year get to his head. And he is getting run out the pool right now. And in swimming, and I think he really lost his edge, his competitive edge, in thinking that he could just go in the pool and swim, because at the end of the day, you can't do that. You've got to be ready to finish your race, because there's going to be people around you that are going to be trying to beat you, and you need to be ready and make sure you're preparing yourself to do your job. And I don't think that he was ready to really do that. And so, you know, now let's go ahead and let the skit guys talk a little bit about making sure we're ready to finish our race a little bit better, hopefully, than what Michael Phelps is doing over there in London.
Young people, welcome. My name is Dan Urbanski. I used to be a WWF World Wrestling Federation fighter, but I am not anymore because Jesus got a hold of my life. Let me just show you a picture of what I used to look like when I used to wrestle. Here it is right here. Right there. But that is not me anymore, young people. Things have changed and I'm a different person, and I'm here to talk to you about running the race, what it looks like for your story. I have a junior high student that's been backstage eating donuts and drinking coffee. Let's bring him out.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name's Stevie Stevenson.
Stevie Stevenson, yeah. Welcome.
Yeah, what's up? What's up?
Stevie Stevenson.
Yeah.
I brought you up here so you can kind of help me do what it means to walk the walk and talk the talk,
all right? I'm on the stage with Demon Dan.
No. My name is not Demon Dan anymore. My name is just Dan Urbanski.
I'm on the stage with Demon Dan, the bone-crushing man.
It's just Dan Urbanski.
Demon Dan.
It's just Dan.
Demon Dan.
It's Dan Urbanski.
Okay. Whew. That's smart.
You know what this is right here, Stevie?
It's a Bible.
No, it's called the sword.
Looks like a Bible.
It's a sword.
It looks like a Bible. I think it's a Bible.
It's a sword. It's a sword! Yes, well, Stevie.
It hurts like a sword. I always wondered why they called it that.
Well, Stevie.
And now I know.
You're going to help me walk the talk and talk the talk. When your friends look at you, do they say you walk the walk and talk the talk?
Well, I don't know. I hope so. I try. You know, I want to have a quiet time.
Too slow!
Oh, gosh. I'm trying. Oh, gosh. Oh, well.
Stevie, it says here, therefore, in Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, out here is a cloud of witnesses.
Yes, it is.
They're watching you.
Yes.
They're watching your life.
Yes.
They're seeing your story.
Aha.
They're seeing how you testify.
Yeah.
What do you think they're thinking about you, Stevie?
Well, I hope they think that I'm cute, you know.
Wrong answer!
Oh, my stars! I think you pierced my spleen.
Get up, buddy. Get up.
I can't.
We need you to walk the walk and talk the talk when it comes to scripture.
I can't.
Come on, get up.
No,
you're on the ropes. I need you to get up, buddy.
I
need you to get up.
No, please.
Get up.
Oh, my gosh. You just hit me with a Bible. Oh. I need help. Somebody. I need a sponsor from my church to get me off of this stage with this demon. He's hitting me with the Bible.
Stevie. Come on, Stevie, stop it. Listen to me, buddy. Stevie.
Don't get near me. I don't like the Bible.
Stevie.
The Word of God hurts. It's like a double-edged sword.
That's right. It says right here that we must run the race that God has set before us, Stevie.
I can't run. I can't.
Stevie.
You hit me in the cranium.
Stevie.
What?
I need you to get up.
I can't.
What are you doing?
It's all right by me. Oh, yeah.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports. Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career. to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Live from Nashville, it's the Freddie Scott Show. Welcome back to the show. Now we're going to be blessed to hear a great, great story from gold medal winner, cancer survivor, and brain tumor victor, Scott Hamilton. Of course, this is the Olympics, and he's an Olympic gold medalist, and I thought it would just be appropriate to be able to hear his powerful story. This is from our friends at I Am Second. Here's Scott Hamilton.
I don't think anyone's truly equipped to go out in front of a billion, 2 billion, 3 billion people on an Olympic stage, and you're scared out of your mind, on a 200 by 100 surface of ice. You wonder why you do this, because you're so nervous. On 2 10-inch lengths of quarter-inch wide steel. Through this, just get me through this. And you're to manipulate those edges for 4.5 minutes and do triple jumps and athleticism and not make a mistake. It's impossible. But I found a way to be just good enough to win the gold medal. The more I look back on it, I think it's unbelievably awesome. Like, that was me. You know, I always thought if I could be really good on the ice, you know, I could become famous. I think I'm probably more known for my health problems now than I am for anything I ever did on skates. When I was very little, I suffered from a disease that stopped me from growing. It was in and out of hospitals for years, and I was never really home. And so what ended up happening was I came back from kind of being in and out of hospitals, and I ended up going to the skating club thing just by accident. And I found skating, which kind of took on a life of its own, and it progressed. And pretty soon I'm competing. Pretty soon I'm living away from home. My role models and the people that were teaching me how to live day to day were older skaters. So there was a lot of it that was terrific, but a lot of it that really wasn't guiding me in any real direction. It wasn't until I suffered the devastation of my mother losing her battle to cancer that something was awakened in me. I knew I needed something more, something better. I think I needed to have some strength. And my mother was my source of strength. When she was living, I would disappoint her. But when she was gone, I just didn't ever want to be less than she thought I could be. I was happy to just work. I was happy to just entertain. I'd do well, and I think that was good enough. Skating had given me life as a child, and it gave me, you know, kind of a strength as an adult. But what was about to happen really changed my life forever. You know, cancer, it put me into a phase of my life where I just needed to kind of sort it all out. I just survived something. Why? I survived something that took the most important person in my life off the planet. That was my mother. She died of cancer and I survived. What's my purpose now? What do I need to do? And a big part of that dust settling was getting with Tracy. And she brought me to the church. She took me to a minister, a man named Ken Durham. And the first thing he said to me, which was extraordinary, was he goes, "You have to understand that Christianity is a faith of history. These things actually happened." And I go, okay, that's a good starting off point. And just study what has happened and see how that resonates in your own life. And it grew. It just sort of, it's like, okay, I get it. When you survive testicular cancer, and you want to start a family, you don't know what the issues are going to be. And I prayed that I would someday become a father. Tracy and I, we got engaged and married, and then my son was born 9 months and 2 days after we got married. So I guess there was a plan there. I thought I paid my health dues when I had cancer, but this was a whole other issue. I have a brain tumor. How do I tell my wife? And we have a 14-month-old son. How do I tell my wife that I have a brain tumor? I'd just gotten the news an hour before. I met them at the hotel, and she goes, "What's going on?" And I said, "I have a brain tumor." And she took my hands, and without hesitation, she just started to pray. And it was in that moment I knew where I was going to put everything. My trust, my faith, everything. So the most powerful moment of my life. From that moment forward, we just said, whatever it is, whatever it takes, we'll face this. When they're going to do a biopsy, they tell you, "We're going to drill a hole in your head, and then we're going to take a needle down through your brain and take a piece of the tumor." They said, "We seem to have found a safe corridor to do this." And I go, "Well, I'm not using most of it." But they tell you all the things that can go wrong in that surgery. And I remember waking up, and I looked at the clock, and it was 10:20. I knew where I was. And then the next thing I saw was my wife come in with a smile on her face. She said, "They know what it is." And they found out that brain tumor was one that I was born with, one that I'd had since birth, which inhibited my growth as a young child. That was the mysterious illness I had that they never diagnosed that got me into skating. Who would I be without a brain tumor? I'm 5'4". If I were 5'8", if I would have grown those years, 5'10", where would I be? Who would I be? I could choose to look at it as debilitating, could choose to focus on the suffering. I choose to look at that brain tumor as the greatest gift I could have gotten, because it made everything else possible. I didn't see past it this time. I didn't think I would survive. At one point I was starting to really feel weak. And one nurse in particular, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I just was uncomfortable. And she goes, "Can I get you anything?" And I just said, "No." I go, "I'm just a little scared." She said, "Do you pray?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "What do you say when you pray?" I go, "Well, I just
I just thank God for all the blessings in my life. Do you ask him for anything? No. I just want him to know I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Well, who is God to you? And I said, well, I guess he's my father. Oh, you're a father, right? Yes. If one of your children were hurting, wouldn't you want him to come to you for comfort, strength? Yes. So I change the way I pray now. I ask. Uninhibitedly, I ask. I ask to heal. I ask for strength. I ask for courage. I ask for another child. I want to talk about miracles. It's after surviving the pituitary brain tumor. It's impossible, practically impossible. I did 6 injections a week for 2 years. No luck. We're not meant to have another child. We gave that to God. A month later, we found out that Max was on his way. Miracle Max. When I look back and I see all those little moments in my life where I needed a great deal of strength, I understand that through a strong relationship with Jesus, you can endure anything. I just learned that the only true disability in life is a bad attitude. God is there to guide you through the tough spots. God was there every single time. Every single time. My name is Scott Hamilton, and I am second.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event, or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Lockdown coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us today. Those of you waking up in the West Coast and on your way into work, hopefully this will help set the tone for your work week right. As you can tell, this year seems like it's already already gone. We're already talking about going back to school. This summer vacation just has come and went. We're over halfway through the year already, and it just seems like time is just speeding up. Later on in today's show, Coach Dungy is going to be talking about how kids are growing up so fast. And I want to thank Scott Hamilton and our friends at I Am Second for that just great story about his brain tumor and what the lifestyle that in his journey, not just winning a gold medal with the Olympics going on right now, sort of recapping some of that, but the things that God has done in his life to really allow him to appreciate life and appreciate every phase of it that's allowed him to be the man that he is today. And, of course, thanks to the Skit guys who encourage us to make sure that we finish our race and run our race to completion. Now we're joined by a great friend of mine, Lyndon Barrington Allen, and he's been on the show before, but we're excited about him coming back on today as we're talking about just maximizing the time that we have with our kids and family and making sure that we're modeling with our kids what we need because, again, they're growing up so fast. And so, Lyndon, thank you so much once again for joining us today.
Freddie, it's always a pleasure to be on the show. Always a pleasure. You're a great man doing a great work, helping people unlock the champion. And I'm trying to do it through helping others understand total life victory and how we need to look at our lives from a holistic standpoint, not being so compartmentalized and acting one way when we're at work and acting another way when we're at home. We need to be the same guy everywhere. Consistency. And the Bible says that we as men of God, women of God, those who are following the Lord, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. If we're going to walk the walk in our families, our kids need to see us not living life with God, being led by our five senses. In other words, what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we hear, and what we touch. That's called living carnally minded, that I only respond to things based upon what my five senses tell me. Well, if that were the case, then the things that we think are actually solid objects around us, like a table or a chair or what have you, you know, high-powered microscopes tell us that they're really not solid, that they're actually porous and not fully solid. Mm. But our senses are telling us one thing. There are certain kind of, sadly in our culture, there are date rape drugs that exist that are odorless, tasteless, and colorless. But if we ingest them, can wind up putting us in really egregious and horrible circumstances. So our senses can deceive us. So we need to walk by the faith of God and His Word, and our children need to see us do that.
Wow. You know, when you're talking about that, you know, I'm sure all of us can relate with you outside, and you look up and you hear a plane, and you look to where you hear, but you don't see anything. Mm-hmm. And then you look further ahead of where you thought the plane would be, and you see the plane, and it's sort of like this disconnect. The plane is not where you hear it.
Yeah.
It wasn't until people started to do more study in physics and things of that nature and started to realize that the speed of light is faster than the speed of sound.
Excellent.
And because of that, by the time if you wait to hear it, it's too late because it's already gone because the speed of light has already passed by. And for a while, it's like, man, I remember growing up as a kid. I'm sure you could too. I could never really understand why is it taking so long for me to hear what I see. And it's because we were never made to be based on our senses alone, because
That's
there's
right.
other rules involved that even govern our senses.
So true, so true. And in family, when a father does not understand that and doesn't understand it as a husband, for example, back in the Garden of Eden, here's Adam having the daunting task of trying to protect his first family. That's just him and his wife. And the enemy shows up with an obvious antithetical message to what God told him. An obvious message. He has the serpent, the enemy, speaking to his wife, and it's within his earshot, because the scriptures say in Genesis chapter 3 that he was right there. He was standing right there. two things should have happened. One is an act of commission. The other is an act of omission. And they both involve the senses. The act of commission, the act that he should have done, that's what it means to commit an act, the act that he should have done was to have chased away the snake. He hears the enemy talking to his wife. He should have chased away the snake and analyzed the message, said, this message is against what God told me. You need to go. Stop talking to my wife. But he didn't do that. The second thing is an act of omission, which is something that he should not have done. The first thing he should have done is chased away the snake. He missed that. His second opportunity was to have not bitten the fruit. He shouldn't have eaten the fruit because his wife offered it to him. And his wife was offering him fruit that he knew he should not have eaten. Because the Bible says that the woman was deceived. She really thought that what she was doing was the right thing to do, though it was wrong. That's true deception. She was under deception. The Bible does not say that about Adam. Adam willfully disobeyed and went after his senses. Here are the senses that he went after. He saw that the fruit was good to the taste. He saw that and said, I want that in my mouth. That's being driven by his pleasure sensors. And also that, well, if she's going to go, I got to follow her. There's some other senses that might have been motivating Adam to disobey God and follow after his senses as it pertained to his wife. And that's about as delicately as I can place it.
I appreciate it. Thank you for keeping it G. Thank you.
Absolutely.
For keeping
it G. So a man cannot be led by his senses, because if he goes, so much more falls when he falls, as opposed to when his wife falls. He had the opportunity to cover her issue, her divergence from the plan. He could have covered it if he had only not taken the fruit. If there were any a day, Freddie, for that man to have declared a fast, it should have been that day. His wife offering him that fruit, he should have said, not today, honey, I'm fasting. That would have been good.
What you bring up is something very interesting and something very, in some circles, probably a little confrontational and something that's not really talked about a lot, because today we're inundated with, if it tastes good, looks good, feels good, enjoy it. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, hey, if you want to eat yourself to death, go ahead and eat all the fried chicken you want. After all, it tastes good, right? You don't need to drink any water. After all, water doesn't have any taste. Go ahead and drink what you really want to drink. And when you look at the health issues that we see going on, we look at the divorce rates that we see going on, when we see the unwed pregnancies that we see going on, we see a society that's been inundated with a thought process of, let me please myself.
Yes.
And not think about the ramifications of the decisions, instead of as us as leaders realize, and especially the leaders of our home. I can't control your house or anyone else's, but understanding that just because it feels good maybe to go off on that child or go off on my wife at that moment or eat what I want to eat or just do what I feel like I want to do, there's going to be some long-term ripple effects of that decision, some consequences of those decisions, and I need to be mindful of the long-term decisions before I make a decision instead of just doing what immediately satisfies me.
Absolutely. The Bible calls that. Paul said it in the book of Galatians. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, if you've ever studied Roman crucifixion, it's the most excruciatingly painful way to have life expire. It involves cat o' nine tails whipping. I mean, the bloodletting from that alone could cause death. It involved being nailed to a Roman cross with 9-inch nails going through the wrists and feet. Now, when Paul said the phrase, I have been crucified with Christ, Christ took on the punishment that should have been ours, but there is a certain amount of death to our flesh, or being driven by our senses. Saying no to our senses is hard. Paul knew. He knew it was hard. That's why he said, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I'm not being driven by my senses. In the book of Romans, he said, to be carnally minded, or having the mindset of being driven by your 5 senses, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded, looking in the realm beyond what our senses tell us, which is where God is, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Being able to telegraph and go, wait a minute, if I do that, it's going to lead to this consequence. Let me not do that. We're the only creatures on the planet that can do that. To actually see an act in front of us, know a decision, and if we take pathway A, we're going to wind up dead. If we take pathway B, we'll have life. And we know the consequences. And we're the only creatures on the planet that I can look at both paths and go, I'm going to choose B, because that means life to me. Choose life, says the Lord.
And you know, it's real interesting. I think every one of us can sort of relate with this simple illustration. We have a minute before we go to break, and I want to be able to get your thoughts on this before we go to break, and we'll come back up and pick it up. But how many of us, let's talk to the guys, every guy that's listening right now, you've gone out, and you go to this party, or you go to the club, or wherever you are, and you see this just beautiful woman. And, oh my goodness, your senses are just going through the roof, and everything in you says, I've got to have it, got to have it, got to have it, got to have it. And you go and you respond to that, and then you realize after talking to her, after being around that person, that you know what? Those senses, that urge, that impulse, man, that led me down a wrong pathway because she was a hot mess. She had drama. Uh-huh. She had a whole bunch of issues. She tried to get me caught up in some stuff. She gave me an STD. All types of stuff. But you know what? But that initial urge, I had no red flags about pursuing her because everything in me said, man, go get it because that's good. How many guys have been burned, unfortunately, some of you literally have been burned, have gotten burned in life. Yeah. Because of not being able to judge and discern, making sure that you're not being flesh-ruled and just doing what you think feels good. 30 seconds. We go to break.
30 seconds. Here we are in Nashville, Tennessee, our premier NFL team, the Titans. We lost a man, our quarterback, number 9. If our precious Steve McNair had only adhered to Proverbs chapter 3, which says, don't go even near the door of the immoral woman's house, that could have saved his life. If he had just said that day, you know what, I'm going home to my wife. If he were at home, he could be alive today. That's how. And I brought that to the attention of my sons, and they were amazed that a 3,000-year-old document spoke to an event that happened currently. And it's sad when we just go after our senses. It could cost us our lives.
When we come back after the break, Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy is going to be sharing his thoughts about how quickly our kids are growing up and what we need to do to maximize these moments. And Linda will be joining us after the break also. We're going to have our parting thoughts as we wrap the show. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show.
It's all right by me.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need. And it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Well, I believe kids are definitely growing up faster today than they did when I was young, for sure. I've had some talks with my kids about what I thought were sensitive subjects, alcohol and drugs, and they knew a lot more about it than I felt they would at very, very young ages. Television, different things, they're just exposed to much more. And we've got to be careful as parents. We can't put off those talks necessarily thinking that, hey, down the line, I'll get to them. Our kids are impacted day in and day out by a lot of things that we may or may not be aware of. So I think we definitely have to realize how quickly they are growing up, have those conversations sooner than later.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. Again, the call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Just to reset once again, we were really blessed to be able to hear the powerful story of Scott Hamilton, gold medal winner in figure skating, of course, with the Olympics going on. He had a really great story from our friends at I Am Second that we shared earlier on, and we've been just heard from Tony Dungy from our friends at All Pro Dad talking about the importance of talking to our kids because they're growing up so fast and they're influenced by so many things. And our guest today, Lyndon Barrington Allen, has been sharing some insights about the importance of making sure that we're not so ruled by our flesh that we can model for our families what needs to be modeled. And when you put it in the context of what Coach Dungy was just talking about, think about the decisions and the trouble and the issues that we've had in our life because we allowed certain things that we saw. For some of you men, you may have gotten exposed to pornography. You were a little kid. You didn't go to the store to buy it, but your uncle or a friend showed you something, and then that image changed your life forever. Or maybe you went to a horror movie one time, and now, you know, you're having nightmares about things because that one event of what you saw changed you forever. And what we're talking about as men is making sure that we have the culture in our home, that when we're living the culture that we want replicated, but then at the same time to make sure that we are guarding and protecting our home in such a fashion that our kids are not exposed to things that they should not be exposed to prematurely, so they can continue to grow and develop to be the men and women, the very best men and women that God has called them to be. So, Lyndon, any other thoughts on some of this as we're wrapping up today's show?
Yes. We need to have remote control. They call it the remote control, but we need to have control of the remote. That device, we need to be careful about the images that we inject into our minds and into our vision. For example, you mentioned about the guy at a party, and he sees she might be a skirt worker, the really nice-looking woman that just captures our attention. Gentlemen, it is not the first look that gets you. Because you can't help stuff jumping in your peripheral vision or in right in front of your sight. It is the willful, calculated, intentional, deliberate second look that is the look that can drag you down because now we're into the fantasy world. Going back to the television, there's sometimes good things that come up on TV, and I bring attention to it in our household, and quite frankly, I die for the remote if something offensive is coming in on. We're like, remote! You can see a slow-motion dad reaching for the remote and just, bang, got the channel changed in time. We've all gone through that, those of us who are guarding our homes. But when good things come across, I bring attention to it. There's a product that they sell, a frozen ice cream bar, and they have a little jingle on it. And it's the commercial goes like this. There's a husband and a wife sitting in a cafe, And behind the husband is a corner pathway that people can walk around, and the wife can see what's behind the husband. And around the corner comes this beautiful skirt-working female, and she is in the view of the wife, but the husband can't see. But the woman, the skirt worker, is about to walk past the husband and be out of her field of view and in the husband's. And then the husband sees the woman, but he keeps his eyes locked on his wife. And then freeze frame, the announcer comes on and says, "What would you do for this ice cream bar?" And the guy says, "Give that man the ice cream bar," because he kept his eyes on his wife. And that's a television commercial that promoted what a husband should do, even when he's not with his wife, because what you practice when she's not around, you will do when she's there. What you practice when she's not around, you will do when she's there. So if you practice cutting your eye and saving your looks for the female frame, the deep looks, save that for your wife and not for strangers. If you save those deep looks for your wife, you'll be great, and you will honor her when she's there. But if you practice bouncing your eyes to other things that you shouldn't be looking to, when you're with her, you're going to mess up, and she will let you know it.
You know, it's amazing when you're talking about that. Really, you're talking about integrity.
Oh,
really, at the end of the day, everything that we're talking about boils down to personal integrity. In fact, earlier this week on Twitter, I did a post to the effect of, if they're not good enough to bring home, why are they good enough for you? And, you know, every person, I can guarantee almost every person here has been in a situation where you understand that there's a certain standard or standard set of what's expected for you or what should be good enough for you. And I can guarantee you, we've all had a girlfriend that we knew I couldn't bring her home to mama because I know, you know, that wouldn't work. But she's cute and, you know, and for whatever reason, for justification, even though I know she wasn't really, quote unquote, good enough to bring home, I still allowed myself to be in a relationship with her and still wasted my time because I knew it really wasn't going to be a long-term thing. I knew I wasn't going to marry this person, but I still allowed her to suck my time, my energy, my money,
right,
and everything else, instead of having the integrity to say, you know what, wait a minute. I'm worth more than that. I don't need to tie up my time doing that. Or if I'm away on a business trip, and just because I'm in the hotel room by myself. In fact, on the last business trip that I was on, I noticed that you turn on the TV and it's a hotel channel, and they're promoting that no longer will they print the names of the movies on the hotel bill when you're checking out.
More
because
anonymity.
So many people were getting offended or were getting called out for all the porno stuff that they were, and it was all
ordering.
You know, Debbie Does Dallas and all this stuff is put out on this guy's bill. And you know, wait a minute, if you're not going to do that at home in front of your kids, why is that good enough for you just because you're alone?
That's why I put my picture up of my wife and family over the television when I'm out doing a business trip or on a trip doing some type of speaking. It's because I want to do privately when she's not there to be a man of integrity, because ultimately God is watching. I want to give some men some practical, here's what you turn your head. If you're driving on the freeway or driving on a road and you can see the woman in front of you jogging and her ponytail is swishing left and right like a windshield wiper, and you know she's getting closer and closer and she's on your left, and you've got construction workers on your right, the closer she gets, the more your head should be looking at the construction workers than her. And if you practice that, because not only is God watching you, but the enemy's watching too. And the enemy has no idea how he's affecting your thinking other than two indicators, Freddie. What I've found is the enemy cannot read what your mind is thinking, but he can influence it. And the indicators that he is successfully influencing our thinking are these two: what we say and what we do. If you hear that whispering in your head, go ahead and take a look. Nobody else is here. Your wife's not here. Take a quick look. And you do it. That lets the enemy know instantly, oh, I'm in
that
his
works.
Thinking. That worked. But if you turn your head the other way and say, and quote the word like Job 31, my eyes have made a covenant with the Lord that I would not sin against him, and you look the other way, now you become a very difficult assignment for the enemy and a glory to the Lord.
See, and you know what, guys? I know some of you might say, man, it doesn't take all that. You know, it's not that deep. It is that deep.
Sure is.
Because it's the little things. It's that little look that you let yourself look at when you're driving down the road and you saw that girl. It's that little glance where you decided to walk that way down the cubicles because you wanted to get a look at that one coworker that you knew was married, and
that
you're married, but
you're,
you know, she
now,
had
Freddie.
On that nice outfit that day, and you wanted to just go around because you want to take that glance. It's that, yeah, let's go off to lunch, and oh yeah, no, it's just platonic. You know, there really isn't anything there, but you know, and they know that there's something more there than this should be there. It's that little stuff that before you know it, it's that, I don't know how in the world I ended up in this. I don't know how I got in this situation. I don't know how I got tied into. We do know. It's those
little
things.
In Genesis chapter 3,
our children, our wives are dependent on us.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I'm telling you, I'm not saying this is easy. All right? This is not what Lyndon's not saying. This is easy.
No, it's not.
But it is doable.
That's right. That's why Paul said, I have been crucified. Crucifixion of your desires is not easy. It's painful, but it can be done. It's doable, as you said.
Lyndon, how can people get in touch with you? The time's already gone. How can people get in touch with you to have you come speak and share? You're doing some great things around the nation. How can people get in touch with you?
www.totallifevictory.com. Totallifevictory.com. All my information is there. I would love to hear from your audience, and keep the dialogue going. You're doing a great thing, Freddie. Thank you so much. I'm always blessed to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much again for joining us, and we will be back and better than ever next week. Until next week, remember to love and lead your families with integrity this week. Guard your eyes, guard your ears. We'll be right back next time on the Freddie Scott Show.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
It's all right by me.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel.